If you're a pastor, elder, deacon, nonprofit, board member, or business owner, I need you to listen to this. K&K Furnishings needs to be on your short list. K&K Furnishings are committed to helping you find the right furnishings for your church or organization. These guys specialize in quality worship seating, welcome centers, cafes, nurseries, classrooms, as well as stage and podium furnishings. The two owners have over 70 years of combined pastoral experience, so not only will every transaction be handled with integrity and professionalism, but they have the experience to provide you with the perfect solutions for your furniture needs, and they absolutely understand your budget constraints and demands. K&K Furnishings are devoted to providing you quality pieces that save you money. They can do this because they don't have the overhead of a brick and mortar store, and they have relationships with over 200 manufacturers nationwide. Look, we all know there's a lot of junk out there. K&K understands that many times bargains aren't true money savers. They end up costing you more in the long run. At K&K, they believe that quality furnishings don't have to be outrageously expensive. And here's the best part. K&K Furnishings sells nationally and can also provide in-person consultations in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. If you can't meet in person, they'd be happy to set up a Zoom consultation for you today. So whatever your next project is, whether it's your home office or your church sanctuary, K&K Furnishings is the only place you need to look. Go to www.kkfurnishings.com to see how they can help you, or call 567-318-4520. That's www.kkfurnishings.com, or call 567-318-4520, or click on the link in the description of this episode. K&K Furnishings, furnishing business, education, worship, and hospitality for the glory of God. Hey guys, before we get into this week's episode, I gotta tell you about Jacob's Supply. Jacob's Supply is the place you gotta go for all of your material needs. These guys bring you construction supplies and appliances for up to 50% off retail price, all brand new. You a home builder? Need some lumber? Jacob's Supply has you covered. You a deacon at your church and you're in charge of that next Narthex floor job? Jacob's Supply has got you. Heck, they got Cortec Luxury Vinyl Plank right now for $3.59 a square foot. Go look that stuff up at Lowe's or Home Depot, man. That stuff is selling for $7 to $8 a square foot. That's over 50% off retail. Even if you just have some home projects you're working on, Jacob's Supply is the place for you. I just built an outdoor grilling area this spring for that old smoker and grill. Guess where I got the metal roof, lumber, and screws? Yeah, that's right, Jacob's Supply. Looking for a fridge, stove, washer, dryer? They got them all, and they're name brand. Samsung, Bosch, Frigidaire, all 20, 30, 40% off retail. Brand new and ready for you. Located in Temperance, Michigan, it's worth it to stop by even if you're a few hours away. And remember, Jacob's Supply can ship products nationally too. So even if you're out of state, you got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook at Jacob's Supply or call them direct at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978. Remember, Jacob's Supply, quality building materials at wholesale prices. And now, on to the show.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Dead Men Walking. Thanks for listening, guys. Just wanted to jump on here very quickly before we get into the episode and tell you a little bit about this episode's guest. On this episode, we talked to Dwayne Atkinson, and he is just a great guy. He runs the Bar Podcast, Biblical and Reformed. He's been doing that for about 5 years, and he called me up and said, hey, I want you on my show. And I said, well, I want you on my show. And we talked for a little bit, and he called in. He's from North Carolina. Sorry, that's, I don't even know if that's their accent. He doesn't have an accent, but when I hear North Carolina, I hear kind of a draw a little bit, but who knows? I'm not an impressionist. That's probably a horrible accent. I don't know what they sound like. But anyway, let's get back into this. We talked about his testimony and how he was saved and then kind of got into the NAR movement, the New Apostolic Reformation movement for a few years. That actually pushed him into Reformed theology. We talked about some of the things in NAR that he saw that actually pushed him towards a different theology. We talked about how he got saved, how he started the podcast. I talked a little bit about how I grew up and how I wrestled with Reformed theology for a few years. And then we got into a little bit about like race and social economic status within Christianity and how your theology can be affected by that. It's about 40 minutes long, so a little shorter than some of our podcasts. But I think it was really good. I really appreciate Dwayne calling in and talking with us, giving us his time. I think it's a great episode. And I would encourage all my listeners, if you guys regularly listen to podcasts, which I think you might, since you're listening to this podcast, go check them out on Apple, Spotify, all the other places you get podcasts. It's called The Bar Podcast, B-A-R, Bar Podcast, Biblical and Reformed. You can also follow Dwayne on Instagram, Dwayne Atkinson. You can probably just search that name. I'm not sure what his Instagram handle is. I follow him and he's got all kinds of good updates there, but he has all kinds of resources. Podcast is great and the interview is great. So stick around, and up next is Dwayne Atkinson from The Bar Podcast. Enjoy, guys.
Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts
now.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Dead Men Walking. I'm your host, Greg Moore. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been reaching out on social media. We do appreciate the likes, the shares, the subscribes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you can find your podcast. And we definitely like the likes and follows on social media. Instagram, Dead Men Walking Podcast. Facebook, Dead Men Walking Podcast, YouTube, Dead Men Walking Podcast. It's all labeled the same, very easy to find. And I tell you what, we couldn't do it without listeners like you spreading the word of God, advancing his kingdom, and ultimately bringing glory to him. Well, now with that, I got the business out of the way there. I have a very special guest on the line today, Dwayne Atkinson. Dwayne, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I am great. Dwayne reached out to me, which I was very surprised. He runs a very successful podcast named The Bar Podcast, which, by the way, Dwayne, I absolutely love that name, Biblical and Reformed. What a great acronym. It drew me right in. I search on Apple and I found it and went, oh, this, just the name alone, I got to get in there and start listening. And I've been following for a while now, and you just have great guests on. Your interview style is phenomenal. And when you reached out to me, I just absolutely loved it because there's such a brotherhood in the podcasting community and even so much more within the Christian and Reformed community. It was just so nice to have you reach out and say, hey, let's do something together. I was totally excited to do something with you. And we're going to get into a little bit about that podcast. But first, just for people listening, Do you think you could just give us a little background of who you are, kind of where you came from and where you are now, just to give background on people listening?
Sure. So, again, my name is Dwayne, and I love to start off by saying husband of one wife, father of four kids, and the opposite would be very difficult.
Amen.
But I am a country boy. Born and raised in a small town called Turkey, North Carolina. Grew up in a, both parent home, father, mother, excellent people. The picture of Christianity and what it's like to be a Christian came from their excellent example. Grew up in the church, was a musician, played drums in the church, fairly athletic. So I also was into sports. And those that know that are musicians and are athletes, sometimes that leads to a life of lasciviousness.
Sure.
Where you think you're the man and you become a womanizer. And that was me. I thought I was a man. I thought I was a player, but I had a facade of the good guy because I was always at church, every Sunday, no matter what I did, Friday, Saturday night, I was always on the drums at church. Just thinking that, that was my makeup for all the bad I did the night before. And God used the very thing that I was riding on, which was my pride. He used my pride to bring me to my knees. Back in those days, we didn't have cell phones. I think I had a cell phone, but, you still use the house phone.
Sure.
And so I got called on a three-way call from two ladies that figured out I was supposed to be dating both of them. They figured it out.
Uh-oh.
And they called me and they busted me. And that night I rolled onto my knees and said, Lord, I'm just making a mess of my life, coming to my heart. And I wish I could say that was happily ever after, man. But unfortunately, because And I didn't realize this until several years later. When I got off my knees, I immediately turned the TV in. And some people in your crowd right now is just saying they're gasping when I said that. But the reason why I turned the TV in is because being an athlete, being a musician, where do you look to find the best athletes and musicians? You look to TV. Sure. So I thought because you was on TV, that means you were the best pastors and preachers. Mm. And that led me on a road, man, into Word of Faith, where, you know, I moved to South Carolina after I met my lovely wife. You know, attended a huge Pentecostal charismatic Word of Faith church, was on staff, and then I actually started to migrate into New Apostolic Reformation, connected with air quotes an apostle, and just went through that whole ordeal.
Wow.
And yeah, all of that, brother.
Wow.
And God just slowly because what happens is, man, they're going to show their true hand. You know, it may in the beginning look like, oh, this is the next move of God. But then when you see the how it's not biblical, how it's not scriptural, and then how they use it to manipulate people. And then I got to a place where I was like, yo, this, I can't be a part of this. You know, this is not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's manipulating people. And I just pretty much was turning my back on all things turning my back on all of that. But I connected with a gentleman at my previous job, and he heard me talking about Calvinism. And I was like, yes, I was at the time thinking I was going to prove Calvinism wrong. I was like, yeah, you know, Calvin. And then he said, hey, you want to learn about Calvinism? I was like, yeah, sure. So he brought me in his office, and we went through the Westminster Confession, literally line by line, every day during his lunch break. We would go through it, and when it was over, I realized that I was Reformed. I was a Calvinist.
Right.
And that started the journey, man, to where we are today. And he actually suggested, you know, things to listen to. Ligonier, Grace to You, you know, Truth for Life. And I started listening to him. Then I found out about podcasts, and I would listen to him on podcasts. And then I heard a couple podcasts that were actually theologically sound but yet fun, and so I was like, whoa, wait a minute, I can do this. Like, I like to have fun, and I'm not the smartest guy, so I can maybe get guests on that are really smart.
Right.
and that's how we are here, man, with the bar, with the whole network now, and just a great ride, man. But that's kind of the backstory up to the present.
So what years was it from the time you were saved to the time you kind of got into to NAR to the time you got into Reformed theology?
Okay, so saved was 26. So saved was probably 2006. Mm-hmm. Got into the NAR probably around 2009 into 10.
Sure.
And was in that until I guess started coming out of it, I would say about 13-14, and then 15 is when the whole Reform journey started.
Sure. So I have had so many discussions with believers that came out of Word of Faith or Prosperity Gospel, kind of that NAR movement. And when we say NAR, for any of those people that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, that's the New Apostolic Reformation, very signs and wonders, works driven, that kind of theology. Probably the most famous link to that would be Bethel out in Redding, California, with Bill Johnson and his ilk. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding that, biblical heresy, controversy, things like that. And I discuss those things all the time. It's, I listen to talk with so many people that that movement has actually pushed them, after going through it, to actually a more foundationally sound, doctrinally and theologically sound view of God. And I almost go, I absolutely love it, because it's like the Lord will use anything for his glory. And I've met some of the strongest brothers and sisters in Christ who have went through that and said, oh no, it took me being, you know, entrenched in that to see exactly what you just said. Man will always show his mm-hmm. hand. If it's not pointing to God, yep. it'll eventually point to man. And it puts them, yep. you know, kind of on that different path. I have, you know, something similar. I grew up in a non-denominational church, but definitely almost like an Assemblies of mm-hmm. God type. There was obviously Got speaking it. In tongues, and it was based on Pentecostalism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took me a long time to realize that Pentecostalism's only been around for, 100 years. I mean, you look at, yep. You know, obviously the Bible and our early church fathers right up through the Reformation. I mean, none of these shenanigans were really going on until just the last century or nope. so. But it's been so entrenched in Western Christianity, and growing up like that, I just thought, oh, all churches are like this, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. that's where we come from. But yep. So I remember, you know, just very quickly to kind of put us on the same page, I remember asking my youth pastor and my pastors some very, you know, deep theological questions. At the time, I didn't know what I was questioning, and they didn't really have answers for me. They just said, well, this is the way we believe. And, you know, if you tell a kid, mm-hmm. that, you know, a curious kid like myself who is always asking why and wants to know more, oh, that's just the way it is. Well, then it just makes you dig into those things much deeper. So I tell everyone, sure. I said the sinner's prayer at 7. I got saved at 24, which is, you know, the more I talk to reform folks, similar. Too, they go, yeah, that makes sense. When my heart was truly regenerated, it was when I had, you know, no band, no car, no girlfriend, no job, no prospects. And the Lord humbled me to a place that said, you need me. And he drew me onto himself. And that's when I was actually saved. And I actually wrestled mm-hmm. with Reformed theology for maybe 8 years. I just grew up mm-hmm. and I wasn't even exposed to that. I mean, I was homeschooled and we read Edwards and we read John Newton and Bunyan and all these people, but I wasn't told about that theology. It was very strict. This is what you believe. Yeah, these guys are okay, but don't get too into them. And for about 8 years and up until like my early 30s, maybe 30, 31, I didn't even want to say I was Reformed or Calvinist or anything like that because I thought there was a stigma to it. When in fact, then I just realized, oh no, I just believe the Bible. I just believe what the Bible says in my systematic theology mm-hmm. and the way I view it has a label. But at the end of the day, I believe in 100% of what the Bible teaches, and I believe my theology, Reformed theology, can reconcile the entire Bible to where I mm-hmm. think some other theologies can't. You have to kind of use some tradition and do some mental gymnastics to explain certain verses and things like that. So I was a little bit different, as in I actually, you know, like I said, I remember 13 years old, I asked my youth pastor, I said, why do people go to hell? And he said, well, because they don't believe in, you know, Jesus. And I said, well, isn't unbelief a sin? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, didn't Jesus die for all sins? And he said, yeah. And I said, why isn't everyone in heaven then? And he just looked at me and said, oh, that's a good one. And you know, walked away. And I didn't know at 13, I was asking him about a limited atonement doctrine, but it didn't make sense in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any good answers, you know, or, you know, we grew up believing if you backslid far enough, boy, you could lose your salvation. And I would bring verses to him and say, well, what about where it says like he only, you know, the Father holds in the hand and can't be plucked away from him? Oh, no. But if you sin, you know, bad enough, it, you know. And then, it, you know, I had fear, like, oh my gosh, what sin, if I do something wrong today, if I die today, I'm going to hell. And I was thinking about eternal security and perseverance of the saints. And it was just absolutely insane when I look back on it, going, you know, unfortunately, a lot of my youth leaders and pastors didn't do me a lot of good when asking me these questions, because they didn't want to veer off a certain doctrine or theology and you know, and really try to explain it. But by the grace of God, you know, he did save me. And look where we are now. I get to talk to Dwayne from the Bar Podcast, and it's absolutely an awesome thing. So you started the how long have you been doing the Bar Podcast?
So technically 5, I say officially by iTunes standards, 4 and a couple of quarters.
Sure. So you're old school here. I've only been going a couple months. I've obviously been listening to podcasts for, geez, I would have to at least say 8 or 9 years. I mean, I was in on the early days of podcasting. I think Rogan and Corolla were my first two that I started listening to when they got really popular. Obviously, we've seen a resurgence and just just a plethora of podcasts for not only Reform, but for Christianity in general, which I believe is awesome. So it's so good to see guys like you out there who've been doing it a long time. And tell me a little bit about how, I mean, what was your thought there? I mean, I know you touched on it a little bit. You said, hey, I'm listening to podcasts. It sounds like there's guys smarter than me, which is the same way I feel. Let's bring on smart people and listen to them, such as yourself. And you said, hey, let's do some podcasting and try to get some fun guests on as well. Was that the main motivation for starting the podcast? So,
honestly, the original vision, I left this out of the backstory. Whenever I started coming out of the whole movement and everything, even before I met the guy that walked through the Westminster Confession, I started a page on Facebook called Be Not Deceived.
Okay.
And Be Not Deceived is it's a discernment page. It started out real spooky, you know, conspiracy theory. But as our theology grew, the page grew, and we just pretty much exposed false teachers, you know, word of faith guys, stuff like that. And sure. So there's a whole team that runs that page. And so the vision was, when I got inspired to do podcasts, was we'll all get on there at one time. And we actually did it on internet radio. We had this broadcast called, Warrior for Truth.
Okay.
And we got on internet radio every week as a group, and we just talked about different topics. When I found out about podcasting, I wanted to take that idea to podcasting, the whole group get on, talk about different topics, whatever, whatever. Well, as you know, starting a podcast, it's hard to get people in the same place at the same time as far as on the phone or anything like that. It's hard to do two people. Can you imagine doing seven or eight?
Right.
And so I kept warring, trying to get them on. And I was actually ready to just give up on it, on podcasts altogether. And I went to Steve Lawson actually preached in Greenville, South Carolina, which is near me. And me and my wife went to it. You know, Steve Lawson, anytime you get to hear him preach, you got to jump and do it. And so we went, and sitting right behind me was Todd Friel from Wretched Radio.
Sure.
And as soon as the program was over, you know, I turned around and was like, hey, Todd Friel, you know, introduced myself. And I pitched him the idea of my podcast. He was just blown away, number one, that I was African American and at a Reformed event. He was like, I just don't see that, man. And when I told him about the podcast, he said, oh, you need to do this. You need to do this, man. This, you know, it needs your voice. You know, we don't see that many brothers doing it, but, you know.
Sure.
And so that sparked the idea of, okay, I can't get these folks, all eight people, on at the same time. What I can do is I can interview people. And I literally just started, you know, shooting emails, sending requests, and people just started saying yes, you know. And, and you know, Todd Friel, you know, he told me that night that he would come on. He came on and a couple other guests, and that's pretty much how it got going, man. It almost didn't make it, but by God's grace, we got it. And so my whole purpose for the show, once I realized I wanted to do it that way, was I wanted to be a resource. Because for me, podcasts helped me grow my theology. I was listening to Christ the Centered and, you know, all of those really deep podcasts, and that's what helped me understand things and hear conversations that I never heard before. And so I wanted to be that same kind of resource, not necessarily on their level, but kind of an entry. Like, you know, somebody Googles Reformed Theology, I want them to find a bar and be like, oh, let me listen to this guest.
Right.
And kind of get an introduction to it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on that.
Oh, that's awesome. Let me ask you kind of a, I don't know if it'd be a personal question, but just something that's stuck in my mind, because there is such a strong and vocal minority Black voice in Reformed theology. I mean, when I just want God to do a work in me, I get on my treadmill and I put on Shylin and I get preached to, and then I go listen to Vadi, and it's just like, I just get destroyed for the day. And I mean, you look at in music and you look in preaching, and there seems to be such a strong reflection in the Black community in Reform. Why do you think that is? I don't know. I don't know if that's too personal for you, but I've always just went, there is just such great men and women in that minority group that have taken hold of Reformed theology and just exploded it. I mean, I think the resurgence of Reformed theology is due to Reformed rap. Because you guys attack the culture, and it's just, and it's such a great, I mean, besides it's, you know, it's obviously the Bible and the message of the sovereignty of God and all those things. But it's just insane to me how effective that community has been for Reformed theology. Can you speak to that a little bit and maybe give your two cents on why you think that is?
Well, so, I mean, for sure, Charlene was major for me as well. It's what you have to think about, especially when it comes to the art of hip hop, because it's so poetic, because it's so much you can put in the lyrics, you know, it has a driving force with it. You know, those guys take that talent of wordplay and then put in sound biblical teaching, you know, that takes it to the next level. But as far as the influence of African Americans, I think, and this is, I can only speak for me.
Sure.
For me, I think what makes it, I guess, explode or so dynamic is because it's a mixture. Some of us have never heard sound biblical teaching ever. You know, like we only heard the fluff, we only seen the pimp preachers, you know, we only seen that. Some of us actually have solid backgrounds like myself. Like everything that I grew up believing, mm-hmm. it was lined up with Reformed theology. We just didn't call it that. Like we believe in the Trinity. We believe in sovereignty of God, you know. So I think it's either you're getting exposed to it for the very first time, super excited, so you want to spread the word, or you're getting what you grew up with confirmed, you know, and you have words for it. Because that's the first thing I told people was, now I know why I believe this.
Sure.
You know, growing up, like the guy told you, he said, you know, we disbelieve it. Well, there are certain things in scripture that we grew up knowing it, but not knowing exactly why or how to explain it. So I think there's two things playing there, and both of those things working together brings the excitement that you get from Wodey, from H.B. Charles, you know, from all of those solid guys, you know, Shy Lynn, as the guy on my team, T. Barlow, there's just a excitement in order that you want to spread that word, that truth out there to not only confirm, but also to motivate and to push people towards sound biblical teaching.
Sure. And, you know, I would add to that too. I've found that a theology liked Reformed theology that is consistently and constantly pointing to Christ, pointing to God and his sovereignty, it really makes everything else seem secondary, whether it be social economic status, sure. skin color, where you grew up, how you talk. I mean, even in the, you know, the white churches that I've been part of, and I was, my first pastor when I came back to the Lord was black, and it was a predominantly black church. And it was a season of my life where the Lord really taught me how to praise and worship and all those things. But you even see segments in certain types of theology to where it's like a certain type and certain socioeconomic status of a person. And because the theology that they're teaching almost teaches towards that, to where when I believe in an all-sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God, who everything I do is for his glory, and knowing my place as a depraved, sinful man who needs his grace and mercy every day, I'll tell you what, I look around, it doesn't really matter what color or where you come from or how you talk, because we're all on the same playing field. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we desperately need him. So yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Let me just go back just a little bit, and I'll ask you this question, and we're doing this all without any type of pre-interview or anything. So I appreciate you being able to just, you know, respond on your feet here. But when you said you got into NAR and then you kind of saw, you know, in that movement, how man was kind of glorifying themselves, can you give a few examples of maybe what you saw to where you just said, I don't think this is lining up with what I believe, or no, I don't think that's biblical. What were some of the things that you saw that made you just kind of step back and say, wait a minute, I got to think about this?
Well, so, I mean, just NAR an example, I mean, NAR within itself is an example of needing to be in a position, because you have to have a special title. You need to be an apostle or a prophet or whatever. You know, you're looking to exhort yourself above regular Christians, and that within itself is an issue. Also, because, you know, the Bible talked about requirements of an apostle. That was one of the things that just kept weighing on me, was the requirements. You have to see Jesus. You have to see him ascend. And, you know, and I can't imagine any of those guys being old enough, or myself
right,
being old enough to have seen that. And so it really, like, there was no clear cut example, because the thing about NAR is it blends so much with Word of Faith and Charismania, sure, that it all sounds and looks the same. Just, you know, the titles are different. You know, I've seen, you know, the whole healing lines and the fire lines and the prophesy lines, and
sure,
and at the end of the day, it was all about the money line. That was right, the only line that really made a difference, and, you know, determined what they did and didn't do. You know, it was all about the money. So for me, it was seeing, you know, man having to be exalted,
yep,
man trying to create a position for themselves that actually goes against what Scripture says that position is for, or what it means to obtain that position, and then just man's greed to use that power, use that name, use that system to manipulate people out of money.
Yeah, and I think that's what it really is about, too. You know, sometimes some of the dings that I get from some of my maybe charismatic or Pentecostal, or even just outside of the Reformed theology kind of camp, is they say, geez, you look on Instagram or social media, all these places, and you see the Reformed memes and the calling out, and they just go, man, it just seems like you guys are just, putting other people down, or trying to, you know, mess up someone's ministry. Why can't we just all, you know, hold hands and get along? And my response to that is that almost every person I talk to who comes out against NAR or Word of Faith or Prosperity Gospel, they're doing it from a place of love, because they want people to know the truth. Because I've seen people caught up, yep, in those type of ministries and theologies for decades, and it not only stunts their growth and their sanctification process, but it actually puts them on a path that is ungodly, unbiblical, not scriptural, and can really ultimately lead to death and hell. And I always ask them, I say, look, at if you knew anyone who was in immediate danger, would you warn them? And they say, well, of course I would. Well, I think that's what we're doing here. Now, obviously, sometimes you get, you know, some of these guys like a Kenneth Copeland, and he just serves it up. You just go, I can't even believe that there's people who actually follow this man, you know. And look at,
I was just going to say, what's funny is seeing the Word of Faith people look at Kenneth Copeland and say he looks crazy, but they're doing the exact same thing, just not in front of the TV. I mean, in front of the camera,
right?
You know, and not making crazy faces, but they're doing the exact same thing. But it's funny to see them criticize him too. I'm like, not calling the kettle black,
it's nuts. They're like, oh, he's out there, you know, blowing on COVID-19 and asking for planes, but we're not that bad. We're just down here barking like dogs, grave soaking, and handing out Christian tarot cards. It's like, what are you guys talking about? The Dead Men Walking podcast is sponsored by Greg Moore at Informed Solutions Realty. With over 50,000 residential, commercial, and property valuation transactions completed, Informed Solutions Realty is your premier real estate brokerage in Michigan. Whether you're buying or selling a home or business, Greg Moore at Informed Solutions Realty can help you. And right now, all Dead Men Walking listeners will receive a complimentary property valuation report, which is a $100 value. Visit www.gregmoore.realtor or call 734-731-GREG for more information on how much your property is worth and how you can get it sold fast. That's www.gregmoore.realtor or call 734-731-GREG. Dead Men Walking is also sponsored by Meriwether Farm. As followers of Christ, we are called to feed the poor, show compassion and mercy, and make disciples of Him. And that's exactly what Meriwether Farm does. Through farm and food ministries, Meriwether Farm is dedicated to serving the underprivileged and those in need in their community, showing the love of Christ and making Christ known. Meriwether Farm is a nonprofit charity that fulfills its kingdom mission by partnering with listeners like you. For more information on how you can get involved or donate, visit www.mwfarmministries.org. That's www.mwfarmministries.org. We are also brought to you by Threads Baby Boutique. Hand-sewn and made right here in the USA, Threads Baby Boutique Etsy shop is a must-visit. With unique clothes and accessories for infants, toddlers, and young children, you're sure to find the perfect ensemble at the Threads Baby Boutique. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Why not bless them with this perfect gift and see what thousands of satisfied customers are talking about? Visit www.etsy.com and search Threads Baby Boutique or connect with them on Facebook at Threads Baby Boutique. And now, back to Dead Men Walking. Rationalization of Scripture is a very powerful and dangerous thing. I mean, anyone, if you're not measuring yourself against the Word of God, you can rationalize just about any sin, any doctrine, any theology to fit what you need it to fit so you can go on doing what you want to do, which is generally just rebellion of God and pridefulness. I mean, that's what it all really comes down to, because isn't that what sin is anyway, right?
Exactly.
But so I think it comes from, you know, our camp or our tribe, however you want to say it, it does come from a place of love. I remember I was an early adopter of Facebook, I think first 6 months that it was open outside of college students. And I've got stuff going back to like 2007 and 8 where I'm like calling out Todd Bentley when he was doing like 50 person meetings. He wasn't even anyone. And I just said, this isn't right. This guy's talking about punching people in the face and kicking them in the shins. And then obviously we've seen what happened with him over the last 10 or 12 years. And you know, calling out, I actually led a Bible study with a Bill Johnson book, I think in 2008, when Heaven Invades Earth. I got all the way through the book and I went, well, this doesn't seem right. I have so many issues with it. And then immediately start posting and just having discussions. And, you know, now we've seen it, you know, in 2020, you know, he's exponentially more popular and doing all those things. But it's just one of these things where even back then, before I even identified as Reformed, I had this heart of wanting to guard the truth and really wanting to be like a Berean and script, you know, search the scriptures daily and measure everything up against the Word of God. And not because I want to say you're right and I'm wrong and the, you know, point fingers. It's because I want people to know the truth. And ultimately I want people to know God. I want them to have a mature sanctified walk and actually understand the character of God. You know, one of my favorite Bible verses obviously is Proverbs. It says the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and that's not to be scared of him, but that word fear actually means to understand his character and have reverence for him. And I think really the only way they can do that is truly understanding his word that he's made available to us, and a twisting of that through some of those movements can set people back decades in their walk with the Lord, unfortunately. But let's change gears here a little bit. I'm just going to keep you for a couple more minutes. I did want to make sure that everyone listening here does check out the Bar Podcast. Can you talk about where people can find that, and maybe talk a little bit about who your guests have been and what you guys you know, talk about on the podcast?
Sure. So you forgot one question, but I'm gonna answer it here, man. You were talking about the name, the Bar. And where did that come from? Yeah. So I'll start there. The name The Bar actually started in our Facebook inbox with that group. We were throwing around names, and the first name was Black and Reformed.
I like it.
And I was like, "Yeah, no thanks. You know, I don't wanted to be one of those shows, you know." So somebody came through and said Biblical and Reformed, which I love, you know, B-A-R, love the name, the logo. But I run into a couple of haters here and there that say that it's a oxymoron, you know, biblical is reformed, or, you know, being reformed is biblical, you know. So that I run into that a little bit. It's funny, when I met Steve Lawson with my, I had my shirt on, And he said, that should say biblical is reform. I said, yes, Steve, but buyer or beer wouldn't sound as cool on my podcast.
Right.
So, but you can find the bar at thebarpodcast.com.
Okay.
And we also have a tab. We have a network of podcasts that are all connected through the bar. I call it the Bar Podcast Network. And so you click on the Bar Podcast Network tab, you can find all the podcasts. And the Bar Podcast is a 30-minute laid-back conversation with the guests. My guests have ranged from very well-known speakers like Steve Lawson, Mark Dever, Lincoln Duncan.
That's a nice list.
Stephen Nichols, Mike Horton, Carl Truman, a lot. I mean, I've chased after pretty much. Oh, Al Mohler. Mm. I've chased after pretty much all the big dogs. I was chasing after the late great RC right before he got really sick, and they told me, you know, it wasn't going to happen. And then I got the sad news a couple months ago that I wasn't going to be able to get Dr. MacArthur. That was another one of my great whales that I was chasing. That's not going to happen. But I was able to get Alistair Begg. So yeah. That was one of my list. And then I also interview local pastors.
Sure.
One of my very first shows, I asked my guests, you know, who's your favorite preacher? And this was me, you know, early in the reform thing. And he said, man, my favorite preacher is my pastor. You know, he does this, that. And I still had the charismatic mentality where you want to find the best and, you know, follow the T.D. Jakes or whatever.
Sure.
And that, I was like, wait a minute, I need to bring that back. You know, I need to shine a light on these local guys. And so I have local pastor spotlight. I do every so often. And then I just interview other podcasters. I interview software companies. I've had Covenant Eyes, Olive Tree, working with Logos. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed, you know, artists, whether they're hip hop artists or actual painters and sketchers. And I interviewed Reftoons, the guy to do the cartoons. I mean, it's just.
Oh, really? I love Reftoons.
Yeah, man. Yeah. My man Cox, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So I just interview anybody, man, that I think would be it would be a nice introduction to my listener, whether it's a new book or if it's apparel, whether it's art, whether it's sermon, whether it's encouragement or testimony. And so that's pretty much what we do, man, at the bar. And like I said, it's 30 minutes so that we get in, we get out, we whet your appetite. We make sure that the links are in the bio so that you can, the show notes, so you can go and buy the book or follow up or whatever needs to happen. And that's pretty much what we do.
Well, Dwayne, thank you so much for being on today. I really do appreciate it. I mean, you're an interesting guy. You're a brother in the Lord. You're doing great work. The podcast is phenomenal. And once again, you said that was thebarpodcast.com. Did I hear that correctly?
Correct.
Thebarpodcast.com with one of the coolest names for a podcast. Like I said, it grabbed my attention, and I have a slight touch of ADD, so I'm all over the place. So if you can grab my attention, I'm sure you can grab others that can concentrate a little bit more than 3 seconds. But once again, I want to say thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I'm going to have to be on the podcast for you, too, because we need to talk again. I definitely want to keep in touch. For any one of my listeners listening, definitely go over to Apple or Spotify or all the places you get podcasts. I'm sure he's on all of those. I know I connect with you on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you like, subscribe, give him some 5 stars. Let him know that you're listening. But Dwayne, thanks so much for being on.
Listen before you give 5 stars. I want honest reviews.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, so listen first before you give 5 stars. Yeah, just don't give him 5 stars because he's a great guy. He wants to make sure he's bringing that content. But I'll tell you what, from that list that you just rattled off to me, man, I'm going to have to dig back in the archives because you have some great men and women on there, man. Yeah.
For sure. And before we go, man, I just want to shout you out. The reason why I reached out to you Like I told you, I have a sixth sense about podcasts, man, and I really love your approach. I love what you're doing. I love just the, you can just kind of sense where this is going. And so I just want to encourage the listeners, man, to lock in with this guy because this podcast is going to blow up.
Oh, Dwayne, thanks. That's so kind. Listen, if one person is ministered by it and it glorifies God, then we've done our job, right?
That's it. At the end of the day.
Awesome. All right, brother. Well, I will talk to you soon. And once again, you guys, if you're listening, make sure you reach out and listen to the Bar Podcast. It's a great show. And, you know, it was an honor having you on, Dwayne. Have a great day. And, guys, thanks for listening.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Dead Men Walking Podcast for full video podcast episodes and clips, or email us at deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.
Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at RealDMWPodcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the Pump TV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.